بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, yesterday we received news of the 2019 national election and we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided what he wanted to decide. But I found many, since the last 2-3 days I've been getting all kinds of messages. And messages of people who seem to be frightened and people who seem to be wanting to look for places to run to and so on and so forth. And of course, I, for the life of me, can't imagine why anybody is frightened or where they want to run. The funniest was a cartoon which somebody sent me, a poster which had one of the senior politicians in Madhya Pradesh, Digvijay Singh, holding his head and saying, "Are." एग्जिट पोल के रिजल्ट इससे अच्छे थे सो आई थिंक दैट सम्स अप द सिचुएशन द रीजन आई एम सेइंग दिस टू यू इज बिकॉज इट इज रिमाइंडेड मी ऑल्सो ऑफ माई चाइल्डहुड आई एम फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट बैच ऑफ स्टूडेंट्स After Jagirdar's College was made Hyderabad Public School, I joined the school in 1961 at the age of 6 in boarding. And I graduated in 1972, class of 72. Now in 1970, my principal was Mr. M.C. Watsa. M.C. Watsa is the father or was the father of Prem Watsa, who is the Canadian billionaire who rescued BlackBerry. And Prem's father was my principal in school. And I recall a very interesting conversation. I recall the conversation 100%, but for the life of me, I can't recall the circumstances of that conversation, what led to it. But whatever that is, the conversation is important. I remember Mr. Watson asking me a question. He says to me, if you are walking down a dark street in the night and there is a electric pole, there's a light pole at the end of the street and you see what looks like a big ghost, big black thing and it is moving, what will you do? I said to him, sir, I think I'll run like hell. I mean, what will you see a big black ghost, you know? He said, no. He said, you know what you should do? I said, you tell me. You are the principal, not me. He said, you should go and see who that ghost is. You must go and meet that ghost. And he says, you know what you will find? He says, you will find that that ghost is actually the branch of a tree, the shadow of which is being cast by that lamp. That's it. The ghost is a shadow of a tree. Now, I recall that conversation because of the election results and the funny effect that they seem to have produced in a lot of people. And today, my topic is Seerah of Rasulullah SAW. And so I say, let's see how we can interpret this in the light of the Seerah. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that the state of a nation is not measured by its resources, but by its spirit. When the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, faced the biggest army in the history of Arab warfare, until the time of Ghazwatul Ahzab, there was no Arab army which was bigger than the one that faced the Sahaba across the trench in Medina. And that was an army of over 10,000 soldiers comprised of the Quraysh and the Hawazim who were the tribes who had aligned with the Quraysh. And at that time, The Munafiqeen tried to discourage the Sahaba and they blamed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, see where Muhammad has got you to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The reaction of the Sahaba is so phenomenal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu decided to bear witness on behalf of the Sahaba and decided to record that in his kitab to be recited in salah until the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends this world. And what was that? In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. Allah says, and when the believers, when the Sahaba saw the Ahzab, saw the confederates, saw the allies advancing against them, they said, this is what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised us. They were not shocked. They were not awed. They didn't run. They said, Alhamdulillah, this is what Allah promised us and this is what His Nabi promised us. Sadaqallahu wa rasuluh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke the truth and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke the truth. And then Allah says, وَمَا زَادَهُمْ, and it did not increase in them إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا, except iman and submission and obedience. It did not increase fear in them. It did not increase apprehension in them. It did not increase worry in them. It did not increase anything negative in them. It did not increase hatred in them. It only increased their iman and it increased their submission. Imanan wa taslima. And that's why I say to you, the state of a nation is not measured by its resources, by how much wealth they have, by how big their armies are, by how many people are in that nation. It is measured by their spirit. Here was a handful of Muslims. They were faced by an army many times their size, and it didn't do anything negative to them. My brothers and sisters, ideology is the lens for us to view the world and to view our life. Why do we need ideology? To be able to interpret what we see. For us, that ideology is Islam. So therefore, I want you to remember four things. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still owns the world. Allah has not handed over the world to anybody else. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His kalam in Surah Al Imran, the ayat which we are all familiar with, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. This ayat is haq. This ayat is still valid. And this ayat will be valid until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys to end this world. Until he decides to end this world. So Allah still owns the world and He gives authority to who He wants and He takes it away from who He wants. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi said, leaders are the symptoms of the condition of people. They are not the cause of the conditions. Please listen carefully. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi said in the 8th century, leaders are the symptoms of the condition of people. They are not the cause for the condition. People confuse the symptoms with the cause. If you have good leaders, it means that the condition of people is good. It means that the people are pious, they are just, and they are compassionate. If you have bad leaders who oppress you, it means that the condition of the people is that they are unjust, they are cruel, and they are selfish. Which situation do you think applies to us today? The cure is simple. change our own condition. And that will result in leaders to match. Because leaders come from the people. As the people, so will be the leaders. Why does this happen? Again, we go back to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, زَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُذِقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that evil and difficulties and trials and tribulations and calamities have appeared on the land and the sea because of what the hands of people have earned. Difficulties and calamities and trials and tribulations do not come because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is playing games. It does not come because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala randomly decides to pick you and see you dance. We earn them. We create them. And I am not saying this. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and I have given you the reference of the ayat of Surah Ar-Rum. So Allah says that evil and difficulties and calamities and trials and tribulations have appeared on land and on the sea because of what the hands of people have earned by their oppression and their evil deeds. And why does Allah allow this to happen? So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make them taste yuziqahum za'iqa, just a taste of what they have done. So that Allah may make them taste a little bit the effect of what their deeds are earning, so that they may turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. We know the reason and we know the cure. What is the reason? We are the reason. What is the cure? We are the cure. We need to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we confuse the symptoms with the cause? Because that is the easy option. It's the easy option. It's always easier to blame somebody else for our situation instead of looking at ourselves and what we need to change within us. Denial is comfortable, but it prevents cure. The problem with that thinking is that blaming never changes the situation. So unless we change, nothing will change, no matter who you blame or for however long. We have been blaming the external world in this country from 1857, at least. Read history. I keep on telling you, read history. You don't read history. At least from 1857, the Muslims of this country have blamed the external environment. It is now 2019. If you want to try this for another century, most welcome. But if you believe that this blaming game is enough and that it's time for us to take a look in the mirror and it's time for us to change, then get prepared first and foremost for the pain of change, because all change by definition is painful. The benefit comes after that change happens, not before. In Mecca, the Muslims were under great hardship. They were tortured and murdered. They were oppressed and powerless. Yet, not once in 13 years did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell them to change their leaders. Listen carefully. Not one time in the 13 years of Makkah did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell the Sahaba to change their leaders. Not once did he tell them to start a revolution. Not once did he tell them that they must fight the leaders. Was this cowardice? Was the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a coward? What is your aqidah? What is my aqidah? What does history tell us? Forget aqidah. He did this because he understood the reason. And he was not confusing the cause with its symptoms. He told them to keep focused on Allah. He told the Sahaba to turn to Allah. He told them to make istighfar and tawbah. He told them to leave the evil deeds of their past lives, because remember, the whole society of Makkah was corrupt, including the Muslims who, before they were Muslims, they were corrupt. He told them to continue to build their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have sabr. And in short, therefore, he told them to focus on themselves and to change themselves. He didn't tell them to start a revolution. He didn't tell them to fight the government. He didn't tell them to fight leaders. He didn't tell them to kill anybody. He didn't tell them to overturn governments. He told them, focus on yourself. Change yourself, because only when you change yourself, then Allah will change your leaders. That's the first thing. That Allah is still in control. And if you want things to change, then we have to change ourselves. The second thing I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, is that there are two aspects to our future. That which is written and won't change, and that which Allah gave us to write. The first aspect, Allah still decides, and no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah still decides how long we will live and how we will die, how much we will earn, how healthy we will be. All these, Allah will decide. Second aspect, Allah gave into our own hands how we want to live, not how long, but how. How we want to die, not where, how. How we want to earn, not how much, but how. How healthy we want to be, and whether we want to be happy or not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this into our hands to write our own destiny. It is the second aspect, the aspect of our future that's in our control, which we will be questioned about and which will decide our final success and failure. And about that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every living thing will taste death. Everyone. The rich and the poor, the healthy and the unhealthy, the powerful and the powerless, the white and the black. Everyone will taste death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawmal qiyamah. And only on the day of resurrection will you be paid your wages in full. In this world you will get a part of it, but the full wage, the full reward, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our reward. And the full punishment, and we ask Allah to save us from that, will be only on the day of judgment. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَفَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. And Allah said, only the one who has been saved from the hellfire and entered into Jannah, only that one is successful. And the life of this world is deception. What appears to be success in this world is actually failure. What is failure or seems to be failure in the world is actually success. I am doing a series of lectures in the odd nights of Ramadan. I will talk about many of these things in detail. Come for that. I am not going into the details now, but I will give you evidence, historical evidence from the Quran to support what I am saying. What to do or not to do is your decision. My brothers and sisters, shaitan diverts our attention away from the second aspect of our future, which we can control and can write as we want. And he makes us worry about the first, over which we have no control. Shaitan tells you to worry about how much money you are making. He tells you forget about the way you are making. Any way is okay as long as it comes in. You see how it goes? Don't fall into that trap. Do not fall into that trap. We should worry about our future, but not about that part which is not in our control. Worry about what we can control and can change, and change it to resemble the example of Rasulullah ﷺ, and our life will be full of goodness no matter who is the leader of our country. So what do we need to do now? I want to end by giving you solutions. Four things. Number one, wake up and smell the coffee. Accept that we need to change. And thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us a template to follow, which is the Quran, and a field book on how to follow it, which is the Sunnah and Seerah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us study both and implement them in our lives. Number two, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make our lives completely obedient to Allah. Don't worry about what anyone says because they are not Allah. Get out of all haram. Get out of all haram. You know what is coming next. All interest-based dealings are haram. Membership of clubs with bars and gambling rooms is haram. Membership of gambling clubs, i.e. Malakpet Race Club, is haram. All tobacco business is haram. Businesses which serve alcohol or any haram foods as part of the business, whether you are giving that profit to somebody else or you are taking it yourself, is haram. Mixing haram earnings with halal is haram. Anyone who permits this must first show me evidence of any Nabi, any Prophet, or any Sahabi, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, who mixed haram with halal. If they did not do that, and they are the examples that we must follow, then how does that become permissible today? I don't care which Mufti gives you that fatwa is haram. Focus on our akhlaq and the way we treat others and change that. Focus on the quality of our salah and pray as if we are looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to enter Islam fully and completely. Selective obedience is disobedience. Deliberate disobedience is arrogance. And arrogance or kibr is kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, about entering into Islam fully, اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةِ وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةِ. Anything which begins with يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا is a hukum from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know this. So Allah is saying, enter into Islam completely and fully, not partially. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, verily he is your plain and clear enemy. That is number two. First one, smell the coffee. Accept that you have to change and I have to change. Number two, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, become one ummah. Become one ummah. The Jews have many sects, but they are one ummah. The Christians have many sects. Somebody, guess how many sects? Somebody published a book about the sects in Christianity. And in the beginning of, in the introduction, he said, I have defined a sect as something which has a church of itself. It has completely distinct worship rituals. And it has a distinct theology which refers to that sect. Right? It's not somebody just wakes up in the night and decides tomorrow morning I'm something else. No. There's substantial differences. Guess how many he counted in that book? 33,000. 33,000 sects in Christianity, but they are one ummah. We have many sects and we are our sect. We are not one ummah. The Barelvi is a Barelvi, he is not one ummah. The Deobandi is a Deobandi, he is not one ummah. The Salafi is a Salafi, the Hanafi is a Hanafi, the Shafi is a Shafi, the Maliki is a Maliki, the Hanbali is a Hanbali, the Zaidi is a Zaidi, the Jahili is a Jahili, and they are not one ummah. Jahili is the new mazhab which I think should be started because everybody, there's a more, you know. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. My brother, please understand this thing. So therefore, reject anyone who speaks the language of division. Force your leaders to come together or change your leaders. Start this in your own homes. Build bridges with your family which may have been broken. Forget the reasons. Recognize your ego which prevents you from going to them. Kill the ego and go to them. Smell the coffee. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become one ummah. The last one. Become beneficial for society. All society. Become beneficial for the Hindus and the Muslims and the Sikhs and the Christians and the atheists and everybody. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you for the people. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Allah sent us for the people. So ask yourself, I ask myself, what did I do for others in the last 1 year? You should be able to write that down. And then measure that. What you can't measure doesn't exist. Measure what you believe you did for others against what you did for yourself. See how it matches. Let us become those who live for others. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself. Popularity, love and affection and influence and power are all of them a factor of what you give, not of what you take. Anyone who thinks that he can buy or get these things by force or by paying for them is only fooling himself. He may get the outward symbols for them. Somebody may bow to you, somebody may salute you. One of my dear friends in the IPS, a senior police officer, I said to her, how does it feel to salute somebody who you know is a criminal, who you should be putting in jail? She said, you know, when I first joined the IPS, my first SP said to me, the hand belongs to the government. The heart is yours. The salute we do because that is duty. In the heart, we know what is right. So you can make somebody salute you. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean they respect you. No. My brothers and sisters, people love those who give and they hate those who take. Nobody likes competitors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to give. Allah sent us to take from Him and give to others. Let us ask ourselves if we are doing this. And let us start doing this and let us measure it. I'm not talking about window dressing, cosmetic things like iftar parties. I'm talking about substantial ongoing benefit to society like building hospitals, building schools, providing alternate energy, providing entrepreneurship development opportunities, setting up small businesses, clean water, affordable housing, and so on and so forth. Nobody can deny a hospital which is sitting there in their face. They will eat your iftar party and they will go away. And next morning, whatever was of the iftar party also will be deposited somewhere else. And that is the end of the story. But what you do, substantial works of good, will be there, will be visible, and will change hearts and minds. That is what changes hearts and minds. Projects that are visibly beneficial and which people don't need memory to recall because they are benefiting from them daily. Those are the projects we should focus on. Which means that we have to stop spending money on ostentatious weddings and all the kind of wasteful expenditure that we do. On all the, I'm not saying don't take a holiday, but how many holidays do you need? If you need that many holidays, it means that your life as it is so lousy that you can't bear to live it the way it is. So change that life. Change that life. Running away is not going to change it. Instead, take that money and spend it in projects of ongoing good. My brothers and sisters, to end, remember that success and failure is decided only at the end of the race. And that is, فَمَنْ زُخْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. How do I know if I am still in the race? If you are alive, you are still in the race. As simple as that. How do I know if I am still in the race? If you are alive, you are still in the race. And finally, remember that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not anyone else, who will decide who won and who lost. And that win and that loss is permanent. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.